my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Behold, your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the riches of fools with singing lips. I'm sorry, let me reread that. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Oh, on my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me.
Good evening. And thank you for allowing me to be here with you guys tonight to share a message that God put in my heart a little while ago. But it's a powerful message, and we all need that. Despite the age we are facing, we have some kids here in the room that for sure they can learn with the Word of God. Amen? So, and I also just want to let you guys know that my wife is just driving to Saskatchewan right now with two of my kids just for a time of vacation there. I'll be joining them this Saturday. It's about 11 hours drive from here. So she left early this morning, and I'm just waiting to get an update from them, say, hey, arrived well. So, but yeah, we're looking forward for the time of refreshment, right? Time where we can take a glass of cold water and just sit down in shade and just enjoy some good rest, you know, and enjoy the nature that God gave us. And you may be asking, okay, like, why Saskatchewan then? You know, we have a beautiful nature here to enjoy, right? God's provision, the last 5 years, we have been blessed to use a cabin on a lake in Saskatchewan, which has been really blessing for us as a family. So, yeah, let's go to the text that we had for tonight about David there, and on Psalm 63. If you could have a granted wish today, anything, what would you like to have? Maybe some more energy, maybe a little bit more time, wisdom, right? Maybe some money, because money always helps with some problems. I know that it doesn't bring happiness, but I wouldn't mind to experience that on my own, you know? So maybe you would wish for no health issues, despite what you wish for. Your decision to ask for it would be surely affected by the situation you are in, what you are facing. Perhaps if it's a health problem, you would wish to get well, right? So there's this man stranded in the open sea. He was afloat on a small raft, dying without any water. His weakened and cramping body was about to collapse. His lips were parched. His eyes were seeing things in spots. His stomach was in knots. There was only one thing he wanted: water. He had no interest in anything else. Like, he wasn't looking for to take a selfie and place it on the social media, right? Watching television, or any desire for amusement or entertainment. He was not daydreaming about his many possessions back home, nor he was fantasizing about the stock market or his favorite sports team. He had only one thing in mind: water. Simply water. He had to have water. Until he received it, nothing else mattered. And we see Dave, the character in the Bible, that was facing a similar situation. Dave was both physically and spiritually facing those challenges as he wrote this Psalm 63. He was not in the open sea, but he was in the dry and barren wilderness of the Judea desert without water. His body ached for liquid replenishing. Yet, the deepest thirst of his life was for living water. His response, his soul yearned for God. He did not want any money or power or any material thing. He wanted for God, God for who God was. With all the passion of his soul, he was thirsty to know and experience the greatness of God only. The historical circumstances of this psalm are revealed in the title, when David was in the desert of Judah. Why was the greatest king of Israel hiding and suffering in the desert? Probably he was fleeing from his own son, Absalom. The story of Absalom's rebellion against his father David is told in 2 Samuel from chapter 15 to 19. Estranged from his father because he felt mistreated by him, Absalom spent 4 years winning over the hearts of people, making himself conveniently available to the complaints of the people by sitting beside the road. You know, he was just ready to help people. Those who would have any complaints about the king, he was there to help them. And that was how the first politician came about, right? Probably a socialist. When Absalom thought he had the majority of support, he was ready to set up a rival kingship in the nearby city of Hebron against his own father. David was caught off guard and feared an attack on Jerusalem. He fled the city with many loyal soldiers and headed east for the Transjordan region. He left weeping and crying in the night as Absalom moved into the city. So David crossed the Jordan River and hid in the desert region of the Judean wilderness, with Absalom, his son, in hot pursuit. So, from verses 1 to 4 there, right off the bat, we see David's passion for God. It's clear to notice his soul's consuming passion to behold his God. Oh God, you are my God, was reflecting the intimate relationship he had with his Lord. More than just believing in the existence of God, and more than just knowing about God, he actually knew the Lord personally as my God. Because of that, he earnestly took the initiative to seek God's presence. He eagerly revealed his longing to pursue the knowledge of God by taking the first step to search and seek for God. Finding himself in a barren wilderness, a dry and weary land where there's no water. Even while facing that rough situation, Dave felt more than a physical thirst for water. He experienced an immense, intense inner longing for God. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you, Lord. He knew that he must maintain a close, vibrant walk with God to be sustained, strengthened, and satisfied. So He could no more live without God as his body could not live without water. Do you know why he felt like that? Why he had that desire? Why he was so passionate, longing for God, despite the terrible situation he was in? Because, as the psalm says there, he had truly experienced God's holy presence before. He had encountered his God in the sanctuary back in Jerusalem. In that experience, he beheld God in his power and glory. And then we think, how can I or you long for something like David had if we never felt it, we never had it? So we'll come back and meditate in this question soon here. So clearly from verses 3 to 5, he declares his commitment to praise God in whom he so delights. Having encountered God so dramatically, David was moved to praise. My lips will glorify you, Lord, because your love is better than life. This steadfast love by which God had committed himself to David was more valuable to him than life itself. He knew that God was not only with him but for him through thick and thin, in good and bad times, both on and off the throne, in the royal courts as well as in the rugged wilderness of Judea. Because of God's unconditional love, he pledged, "I will praise you, Lord, as long as I live." God's steadfast love for the man prompted the same kind of love in David for his God. In the midst of this wilderness experience, his lips were active in praising God. "In your name, Lord, I will lift up my hands," he declared, assuming a humble posture in prayer. He was ready to receive every good gift through his personal trust in God alone. He continues from verses 5 to 8. "In God, my soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods." We are talking about a man here who was used to royal banquets, prepared with the best selections of food. He probably remembered the stately feasts he enjoyed as Israel's king. But that pompous situation, the luxurious life and the comfort and the security of his palace was not what he was desiring. He did not miss that. He reminded his own heart that God only could satisfy the true desires of his soul. David stated in jubilation with singing lips, "My mouth will praise you, Lord." With all that, he eagerly desired an inspiration was to pursue God's presence in all circumstances. His mind was consumed with thoughts of God. Have you ever woke up during the night with your thoughts on something that could cause you problems to fall back asleep? Your mind was so loaded, you were so concerned, so weary. When you have such a close understand of God's presence and a strong relationship with him, you can experience what David experienced when awaking during the night. His first and best thought was about his God. He was a man with a mind that sought the Lord always, And as he experienced that, we can also have the same kind of experience and enjoy having a God-satisfied soul. Why? Why was he so occupied? His mind was so occupied with God? Because God was his helper. Because of this, he was singing in the shadow of God's wings. David was surely baking under the hot sun of the wilderness. He found occasional relief in the shade that brought comfort and peace. This cooling shade was precisely what God was to his troubled soul. Under the fiery heat of trials, he found relief in the shadow of God's presence. His soul was clinging to God with a solid grasp of faith. How beautiful that scene is for us. But at the same time, God's right hand was holding him up. Consequently, he was growing closer and closer to his Lord. This high view of God, leading to a deeper knowledge of him, had gripped David's soul at a time before his enemies forced him into the wilderness. It was David's experience of God's glory in his life that had led him to seek God so passionately. He had beheld the great, awesome, and transcendent King of the universe, exalted in absolute power. How powerful that experience can be. And the amazing thing is that we ourselves today, we can have that same kind of experience with the God, the King of the universe. The prophet Daniel emphasized the importance of an intimate relationship with God when he wrote, "The people that know their God shall be strong." The word of the Lord spoken through the prophet Jeremiah is also truth. "Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts about this, that he understand and knows that I am the Lord." Above all things, we must boast in an intimate relationship with the Lord and proudly share with others what he has done for us. Likewise, the Apostle Paul knew of the surpassing importance when he wrote, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering." The Christian life is or should be a continuous progression in which believers always long to grow in the presence and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. David, in this psalm, declares the true and deepest longing of his soul. Despite all the hard situation he was facing, he was desiring only one thing: to seek and experiencing God. David was not focusing on his miserable situation, as bad as it was. He was not complaining in how God could allow that happen to him, that how would God allow him to go to that place. He was worshiping God, praising his name. What a great lesson for us. I don't know about you, but when I'm facing an undesired situation, it's so easy for me to first do what? Complain about it. I blame someone else. The Lord or the wife God gave me, right? I argue. I try to understand and find the cause of the problem. And I want to find the solution lots of times in my own. So, and I know I'm talking about myself only, right? That doesn't happen with any of you here. Sometimes, unfortunately, I cannot say, lots of times, I bring them before God. For David, it was not about him and his problems. It was all about God. It should be the same for us all. All about God. God allows us to get to those places. And while he's watching us, he'll go, this will be interesting. And we try with our own efforts until we realize that we have no control. We have no power or strength to deal with the problem anymore. The only thing we can do is to come to him and get his help. And the amazing thing is that when we do that, he's there to hold our hands. So, have you ever had a situation where, like the stranded man in the open sea, or like David in the desert, where somehow you felt hopeless? You were longing for something that you couldn't find? You are desperate. Maybe that could be a situation that you are facing today. You wonder, how did I end up here? Maybe you are experiencing a situation or you would like the pain just to go away. The sadness somehow turns into joy. That you would like your worries changed to peace. Your cries becomes a laughter, a good laughter. You would like the emptiness in your heart to be filled with hope and joy. If you are in a place like that, I just want to remind you, it's not the end. Absolutely, it's not the end. Because as I said, God is there with you. You can easily reach out to him. Surrender that situation to him. You still have a chance to repair the situation. Make the necessary adjustments and changes in your life. As the man in the open sea had an urgent need for water, we all have an urgent need for God, our living water. As I mentioned before, how can I long for something like David had if I never had it? This psalm is a passionate call to us to know more intimately this great and glorious God. The good news for you and me is that when we can have the same relationship with God as David had. Oh, but David was a king. It was different then, right? He was more important than I am. So Jesus Christ even came from his family lineage. I cannot have the same kind of relationship with God as David had. That's where you got it wrong, right there. So God is coming to you and longing to give you a personal relationship with him. He wants to help you despite the problems you are facing. He wants to be your personal God. So Revelation 3:20, it may be a well-known verse for you guys. The Lord says, here I am. I am at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they will eat with me. How beautiful that opportunity is. But one thing though, God will not break in through the door to force you to have a relationship with Him. You have the handle inside, and you are the only one that can open the door and invite Him to have a feast with you. So, as David took the initiative to seek for God's presence, God wants you to take the initiative. Open the door and invite Him in. Let Him take care of you and take care of your problems so you can truly experience Him. The amazing thing is, despite the hopeless circumstances we are facing, we still have hope. We can still rejoice, and we can still rest in God and experience the incredible joy and peace that David experienced in that desert. So, in a few minutes here, we'll share the Lord's Supper, we'll partake the Lord's Supper. And I want to offer you the opportunity to bring to God anything that you have been dealing with. Just surrender it to Him. Ask Him to help you. And maybe there's someone that you can be a blessing and help them in a situation that they're desperate. So God can use you. So ask God. Say, please God, use me. So tell Him that you want to truly experience His presence. You want to experience the relief, the peace, the laughter, the fulfillment, the hope, and the joy that only He can give you. So, as we share the Lord's Supper, I love when the Apostle Paul, he challenges us, the challenge that I just asked you here. So, and he goes a little bit deeper and he says, I want to encourage you, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. So, if you have anything that you need to deal before you take the Lord's Supper, do that. Talk with God. Open your heart to Him. Ask for forgiveness. Because those who take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy way will face the consequences for that. So, I'd like for you to, while we'll be serving, you come to get the elements, be in prayer. So, and ask God to forgive you and give it all to Him.